Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My Lord, you are not very much satisfied by the worship of the demigods, who arrange for your worship very pompously with various paraphernalia, but who are full of material hankerings. You are situated in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, just to show your causeless mercy. And you are the eternal well-wisher, but you are unavailable for the non-devotee. Please repeat. My Lord, you're not very much satisfied by the worship of the demigods, who arrange for your worship very pompously, with various paraphernalia, but who are full of material hankerings. You are situated in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, just to show your causeless mercy. And you are the eternal well-wisher, but you are unavailable to the non-devotee. It's quite a long purport. The demigods in the celestial heavenly planets, who are appointed administrators of material affairs, are also devotees of the Lord. But at the same time, they have desires for material opulence and sense gratification. The Lord is so kind that He awards them all sorts of material happiness, more than they can desire. But He is not satisfied with them, because they are not pure devotees. The Lord does not want anyone of His innumerable sons, the living entities, to remain in the material world of threefold miseries, to perpetually suffer the material pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease. The demigods in the heavenly planets, and many devotees on this planet also, want to remain in the material world as devotees of the Lord and take advantage of material happiness. They do so at the risk of falling down to the lower status of existence, and this makes the Lord dissatisfied with them. Pure devotees are not desirous of any material enjoyment, nor are they averse to it. They completely dovetail their desires with the desires of the Lord and perform nothing on their personal account. Arjuna is a good example. On his own sentiment, due to family affection, Arjuna did not want to fight. But finally, after hearing Srimad Bhagavad Gita, he agreed to fight in the interests of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord is very much satisfied with pure devotees, because they do not act for sense gratification, but only in terms of the Lord's desire. As Paramatma, or Supersoul, He is situated in everyone's heart, always giving everyone the chance of good counsel. Thus, everyone should take the opportunity and render transcendental, loving service to Him, wholly and solely. The non-devotees, however, are neither like the demigods nor like the pure devotees, but are averse to the transcendental relationship with the Lord. They have revolted against the Lord and must perpetually undergo the reactions of their own activities. Bhagavad Gita 4.11 states, Yeyata mam prabhajanti tangstataiva bhajam yaham. Although the Lord is equally kind to every living being, the living beings, for their own part, are able to please the Lord to either a greater or lesser extent. The demigods are called Sakama devotees, or devotees with material desires in mind, while the pure devotees are called Nishkama devotees, because they have no desire for their personal interest. The Sakama devotees are self-interested because they do not think of others, and therefore they are not able to satisfy the Lord perfectly. Whereas the pure devotees take the missionary responsibility of turning non-devotees into devotees, and they are therefore able to satisfy the Lord more than the demigods. The Lord is unmindful of the non-devotees, although He is sitting within everyone's heart as well-wisher and Supersoul. However, He also gives them the chance to receive His mercy through His pure devotees, who are engaged in missionary activities. Sometimes the Lord Himself descends for missionary activities, as He did in the form of Lord Chaitanya, but mostly He sends His bona fide representatives, and thus He shows His causeless mercy towards the non-devotees. The Lord is so satisfied with his pure devotees that he wants to give them the credit of missionary success, although he could not do the work personally. Although he could do the work personally. This is the sign of his satisfaction with his pure Nishkama devotees compared to the Sakama devotees. By such transcendental activities, the Lord simultaneously becomes free from the charge of partiality and exhibits his pleasure with the devotees. Now a question arises. If the Lord is sitting in the hearts of non-devotees, why are they not moved to become devotees? It may be answered that the stubborn non-devotees are like the barren land or alkaline field where no agricultural activities can be successful. As part and parcel of the Lord, every individual living entity has a minute quantity of independence, and by misuse of this minute independence, the non-devotee commit offence after offence to both the Lord and his pure devotees engaged in missionary work. As a result of such acts, they become as barren as an alkaline field where there is no strength to produce. Nati prasidati tato pachito pacharaira raditasura ganairidi badhakamai yasarva buddha doyayasa dalapya yaiko nanna janeshva vahitah suridantaratma. My lord, you are not very much satisfied by the worship of the demigods, who arrange for your worship very pompously with various paraphernalia, but who are full of material hankerings. You are situated in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, just to show your causeless mercy, and you are the eternal well-wisher, but you are unavailable for the non-devotee. Om Ajnatam Randasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanshakalpatrupyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to speak about this purport and to speak about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Do you know when Sachimata was just a girl, she used to hear the Gaudiya Mat Kirtans going past her house. Is that correct? So how close were you? How old were you?
Not remembering exact age.
About five-ish? Six, seven. Wow. And you lived close to the Gaudiya Mat temple? So that's, was it the Bagh Bazaar?
No.
Bagh Bazaar temple. It's interesting that the guru of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, he said, do not go to Calcutta, do not associate with materialistic people, and do not make disciples. Now it appears that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati did all those three things, but actually he didn't, because when he didn't go to Calcutta, he went to the spiritual world. The Bagh Bazaar temple is the non-different from the spiritual world, so he never resided in Calcutta, he resided in the spiritual world. He did not take disciples because he saw them as his guru, and he took inspiration from them. And he did not associate with materialists because he was giving his association to the conditioned souls to help them. And in this purport, Prabhupada is explaining this is more pleasing to Krishna than the demigods' opulent worship, because the demigods have self-interest, therefore they're not truly caring for others. So this is quite an incredible statement, because we may look at our acharyas and think they are, you know, in a human form, therefore they're less than demigods. But because their mentality is pure, they're actually more dear to Krishna than even the demigods. Because the demigods, as described in this purport, are Sakama, which means what? Sakama. Selfish, they have other desires, yes. And what is the opposite term? Nishkama. So who knows a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita which talks about Nishkama devotees? Krishna Bhakti, Nishkama, Ate Vashanti. Siddhikami. Yes. So what's the translation, roughly? They are peaceful because they have no desire, whereas the bhukti mukti siddhi kamis, they are ashanta, which means they're always hankering. Yeah. So this, the bhukti means the karmis, mukti means the gyanis, and siddhi kamis means the yogis. So what's been said here is that karma, those that follow karma kand, those that follow jnana kand, and those who aspire for yoga siddhis, they're all unhappy because they're not actually attaining what they really need, their heart's desire. And ultimately, as eternal servants of Krishna, they're only going to be satisfied when they revive that loving relationship. Therefore, it said, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shanta. The real peace is with the Nishkama devotees. And what is another verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam about the different types of devotees? Or some devotees and some with desires, and some are not even devotees, but they should all worship Krishna. Yes. Moksha kama dwaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So whether one has no desires, all desires, one desires liberation, one should worship Krishna. Because Krishna is very, very merciful, because even if you have material desires, he will fulfill them and give you something even higher. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he's the example. He wanted a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma, and he got something that was even better than that. He got Krishna's lotus feet, you see. So I just came back from India. It's interesting that you go to so many temples of Ganesh, Shiva, you know, Hanuman, Durga. And of course there's Lord Ram and Lord Krishna there as well. But when you're in India and you see all these different groups and the locals, they're all very devoted, but they're devoted to all of them pretty much equally. And when I see this, I'm very grateful to Srila Prabhupada, because he has very made it very, very clear that actually Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, they're not all equal, and it's actually an offence to the holy name to consider the demigods to be on the same level as Krishna. But of course in India it's kind of like, it's a hot country, and when it's really hot your brain stops working a little bit, and you just end up just worshipping all the deities as if they're equal. And it's kind of like, and I noticed the devotion, the local people, they will queue up for an hour or more, and then when it's darshan time, we know, we got this a lot, there's the guards and they kind of beat you. So you get your 2 seconds darshan and they move you on and they beat you and they grab you and they push you. And amazing, I'm amazed at the devotion of these people, that they will stand in a queue to get 2 second darshan. And how much, it's different here, you know, we have no queue, we can come in, unless it's on a festival day, we have no queue and then we get a long darshan. So we're very lucky that we have the opportunity to take nice darshan. So let us together, you can help me if I get lost, let us together chant the pranam mantras of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. We'll do it line by line. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Barshabhanave Devi Doitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vikyana Dayine Prabhave Namaha Madhur Yodshvala Premaja Shri Rupanuga Bhaktiga Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namastute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Varudappa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine So I'll read the translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his divine grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at his lotus feet. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Barshabhanavi Devi Doita Das, another name of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who is favoured by Srimati Radharani, and who is the ocean of transcendental mercy and the deliverer of the science of Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the personified energy of Sri Chaitanya's mercy, who deliver devotional service which is enriched with conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, coming exactly in the line of revelation of Srila Rupa Goswami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement which is against the teachings of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. Jai. So when we think of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, we think of a lion guru. Now it's interesting that quite often we call him Simha Guru, but actually if you read Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, according to the research of Bhaktivikaswami, he was never actually referred to as Simha Guru, but he was referred to as Acharya Kesari, which means lion-like Acharya, which is the same meaning. So it is said that even his neophyte, so to speak, followers, they were so well trained in the philosophy that opponents of the Gaudiya Math, opponents of him, were afraid to debate with them. So it was a very much a philosophically centered sadhana that the Gaudiya Math residents had. They had to learn very meticulously what was the right philosophy and how to defeat opponents. So actually I'll read in this connection, I'll read something that Prabhupada said in a lecture on the 7th of February 1979 on the appearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. So it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He accepted everyone to this movement. So my Guru Maharaj's contribution is that he defeated these caste Goswami. He defeated this Brahmanism. He created the same way as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kiba Shudra, Kiba Vipra, Nyasi Keni Noi, Ye Krishna Tattva Veta, Se Guru Hoi. Whether one is a Brahmana, a Sannyas, or a Shudra, regardless of what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. So in this connection, he's referring to a debate where the Brahmins claimed that only those born in a Brahmana family could worship the Shalagram Shila and could actually be Acharyas. And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati defeated them. And as a result of that, we're here. We wouldn't be Brahmins if he had not defeated them. If the caste Brahmins had actually won the debate, then only if some born in that lineage would ever be a Brahmin. So there would be no Brahmanas in from Western, people from Western lineage, you see. So we owe a great debt of gratitude to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati for opening the door for us to take the advantage. And with that comes responsibility, because if the truth be told, especially in the beginning of our movement, a lot of the Brahmins who were initiated by Srila Prabhupada, they fell away, they didn't follow nicely. And even today, many of us are not following so wonderfully. And we should understand that this is actually giving fuel to the opponents of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, because they will turn around and say, just see, they are not born in Brahmical families and they're not following properly. So we, as Brahmins, we have to be very responsible if we're initiated as Brahmins. But even if we get Harinam initiation, we have to be very responsible that we represent our glorious Parampara nicely. So I'll continue with the lecture. There is no consideration whether a man is a sannyasi, a brahmana, or a shudra, or a this or a grihastha, householder, or no. Anyone who knows the science of Krishna, he is all right. He is Goswami. He is Brahmana. That is the contribution. Say within 100 years, that is a contribution. And for this reason, he had to face so many vehement protests from the Brahmana class Goswamis. They conspired to kill him. Guru Maharaj told me personally, others, because by his grace, when I used to meet alone, he used to talk so many things. He was so kind that he used to talk so many things with me. So he personally told me that these people, they wanted to kill me. They collected 25,000 rupee and went to the police officer in charge of that area, that you take this 25,000 rupees. We shall do something against Bhaktis Nanda Sarasvati. You do not take any step. He could understand that they want to kill him, just like in your country also, the police. Kennedy was killed. Sorry, the polit. He says polit. Polit means politician. Kennedy was killed. You know, he wanted to kill. So the police officer frankly said, of course we accept bribe, but we indulge in such things, but not for a sadhu, not for a saintly person. I cannot dare this. And the police officer refused and came to my Guru Maharaj that, you take care, this is the position. You see? So vehemently protested. So it said, where there is powerful preaching, there is fierce opposition. So back to Nanda Sarasvati, he said his style of preaching was to preach against the negative. And there's even a statement where he says the absolute truth is glorified more by chastising, by defeating the opposition, than by directly glorifying the Lord. So if we clear the path, we defeat bogus philosophies, we're actually clearing the path and allowing people to connect to Krishna. And that's even more pleasing to the Lord. Here's a letter to Karandar, Bhaktivedanta Manor, 27th of July, 1973. When my Guru Maharaj was present, even big scholars were afraid to talk with his beginning students. My Guru Maharaj was called Living Encyclopedia. He could talk with anyone on any subject. He was so learned. So we should be like that, as far as possible. No compromise. Ramakrishna, avatars, yogis, everyone was enemy to Guru Maharaj. He never compromised. Some godbrothers complained that this preaching was chopping technique. It would not be successful. But we have seen that those who criticized, they fell down. For my part, I have taken up the policy of my Guru Maharaj. No compromise. All these so-called scholars, scientists, philosophers who do not accept Krishna are nothing more than rascals, fools, lowest of mankind, etc. So it is said that because Bhaktisiddhanta Nanda Sarasvati was so erudite, so scholarly, he could have united the Hindus. But he chose not to. Instead, he wanted to keep a very precise, very, how shall we say, strict philosophy, and therefore he would rather have enemies who did not agree with him than make friends, you see. But they would have accepted him. He was so amazing as a scholar. He could have actually collected together all the Hindus under one banner. But he wasn't into hodgepodge Hinduism. He wanted a particularly strict line. And we see that in the short term, the Gaudiya Math was comparatively small. But long-term vision, look what's happened. The philosophical line is very strict. It has been kept strict by Srila Prabhupada. And now we see all the buds, all the blossoming, and all the fruits in the Western world. So that is the long-term vision. So what did he actually accomplish in India? How many mats did he accomplish? 64, yes. Okay, I'll ask you a few questions. What is the name of the mat in Mayapur Dam? Shishiradago Kulananda Ki Jai. Chaitanya mat, yes. Obviously, it's the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. What is the name of the Gaudiya mat in a Lalanat near Jagannath Puri? Purushottam Mat. And why would it be called Purushottam Mat? Because it's Purushottam Kshetra, yes. What about the mat in Prayag? I think it was the Sri Rupa Goswami Mat or Sri Rupa Mat, because that's where he was educated by Lord Chaitanya. And likewise in Benares, it's the Sanatan Mat, you see. So all the mats had different names appropriate to the areas. Back to Nanda Sarasvati, he established what are known as Pada Pits, the places where Lord Chaitanya actually went. So I mentioned I was in India, so we were on the patron's yatra, And actually, we were following some of the path that Lord Chaitanya took. He went to Gorakhpur, he went to Nashik and places like that. So the goal of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was to establish 108 Pada Pitas, places where the feet of Lord Chaitanya would be installed. And he established some, but many were left till after his departure. And I'm not sure if all 108 have been established or not, but it was an ongoing project. So here's a question. Every day we chant Namaste Sarasvati Devi, Gauravani Pacharani. So what is meant by Namaste Sarasvati Devi? Who can tell us the meaning of that? Almost. Okay, Sarasvati. It's not Sarasvati, it's Sarasvati. What does that mean? It's actually locative. It means to unto Sarasvata. So the question then is, what does Sarasvata mean? Okay, I will explain. This is actually, considering that it's a pranam mantra, we should actually know about it. And it's explained in Adi Lila Purport 1084. As members of the Krishna consciousness movement, we belong to the family or the Siddhic succession of Sarasvati Goswami, and thus we are known as Sarasvatas. Obeisances are therefore offered to the spiritual master who is Sarasvata Deva, or a member of the Sarasvata family. And then you put that in locative, you get Namaste Sarasvati Devi. So it means obeisances unto Sarasvata Deva. So Srila Prabhupada is calling himself Sarasvata Deva, okay? Because he compiled this pranam mantra. Here's a question. Who compiled the pranam mantras for Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati? Anyone know? It was actually one of his foremost followers, Ananta Vasudev. And interestingly enough, he was quite a new devotee at the time, but he was a Sanskrit pundit, and so he compiled the pranam mantras not only for Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, but for Gaurakishoras Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and so forth. So, Namaste Sarasvati Devi, whose mission is to broadcast the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauravani Pracharini, and to fight the impersonalist and voidist, Nirvisesha Shunyavadi, Paschatcha Desha Tarini. So, here's another question. There was one poem that Srila Prabhupada wrote, and it had a verse that particularly pleased Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Who knows the verse? Thank you very much. So this was one of the main contributions of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, was to defeat impersonalism, which is very much the line of Madhvacharya. Of course, we know that Lord Chaitanya, he took initiation in the Madhva line. And some people ask why, and there's a statement of Bhaktivinoda Thakur explaining why, because he wanted in particular to defeat impersonalism, and he felt that the Madhva Sampradaya was particularly powerful at defeating impersonalism. So that whole mood comes through Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Now I'm going to read to you a verse from the Padma Purana. Actually, I'll read to you, it's a statement from Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, which I highly recommend you read for those who have already read Ray of Vishnu. There are two very, very wonderful books, biographies about Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. One is Ray of Vishnu by Rupa Vilas Prabhu. And just to give you a heads up, he will shortly be giving a series of classes at Bhaktivinoda Manor on a collection of Saturdays in spring, covering the various acharyas, because he has written books on Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishoras Babaji Maharaj, Jagannathas Babaji Maharaj. He's written books on all of them. And that will be every Saturday morning for about four Saturdays. But that should be announced soon enough. So here's a statement from Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, which is the biography written by Bhaktivikaswami. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's advent in Puri is particularly significant in light of a statement in Padma Purana. Shri Brahma Rudra Sanaka Vaishnava Kshiti Pavanaha Chatvaras Te Kalau Bhavya Hyut Kale Purushottamat. In Kali Yuga, the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, which are purifiers of the earth, will appear in Purushottam Kshetra, in Utkal, Orissa. Now, why is this significant? Okay, one may interpret this to mean the mats of the four Sampradayas will have a place in Purushottam Kshetra or Jagannath Puri. However, this verse has another meaning. You see, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, as part of the Brahma and Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, he unified, philosophically, all the Sampradayas under his philosophy. Now, of course, whether the other Sampradayas have realized this or not is another question. But it was the prediction of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that all the four Sampradayas would be united under the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. And in this mood, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati not only studied extensively with some Madhvacharya scholars or some Ramanujas, he basically studied with some of the other scholars from other Sampradayas and produced his teachings, which were, a reflection of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and which unified all the Sampradayas. So if you go to the... is it the Chaitanya mat? Yes, if you go to the Chaitanya mat, you'll find murtis of the four Sampradaya Acharyas. So whether that's Madhva Acharya, Ramanuja Acharya, Vishnu Swami, and Nimbarka Acharya, you'll find murtis of all of them. So his whole mood was, we're not just the Brahma Sampradaya, we're actually encompassing all the Sampradayas, and they should all unite. So on that perspective, this verse from the Padma Purana saying that the four Sampradaya Acharyas will appear in Purushottam Kshetra, what it's actually saying is that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who embodies the teachings of those four Sampradayas, appeared in Purushottam Kshetra. Okay? That is how they saw that. And if we remember, I'll give you some... I tend to stay clear of the more well-known pastimes, but there's a few well-known pastimes which we ought to mention. One is that at the birth of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck like a Brahmin thread. When the Rathiyatra passed, because remember, his father had his residence on the main road where the Rath cart goes. So during the Rathiyatra, the cart stopped outside Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house and would not move. And the mother of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he was known as Bimal Prasad at the time, she brought him out, and it's at that time a garland fell from Jagannath and it was then placed on Bimal Prasad's neck. So it was very auspicious. And a few other well-known pastimes, he discovered, or either that or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I forget, a Kurma deity, Kurma Murti. And then his father actually gave him the mantras to worship the Kurma deity. Now it's interesting, let us talk about some of the, how shall we say, the innovations. I don't know how much time I've got so much that I could like to say. I might maybe cover most of it. Because we're fasting, maybe go on till maybe 2:15, if that's okay. Is that okay? Thank you. I got permission. The innovations. This is interesting. Now, during the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's physical presence, there was a lot of opposition to the way he presented the sampradaya, the parampara. It's referred to as the Bhagavat parampara. Now, this is an interesting, an interesting debate or interesting source of conflict at the time, because actually this is still existing. Even to this day, there are other Gaudiya Vaishnavas who criticize the followers of Saraswati because they don't have a proper diksha line, is what they claim. And what's meant by that is, if you look at our parampara, if you look at the pictures, so we have Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his diksha guru, Gaurgashodra Spavaji Maharaj. Even that is debated still to this day by other Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But who is the diksha guru of Gaurgashodra Spavaji Maharaj? Actually, someone knows. I think it's Bhagavat Maharaj. But anyway, it's not well known. point is, it's not Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So other sampradayas, other followers in the Chaitanya line, they criticize and they say, well, this isn't an actual Diksha line, because back to Gogshoras Babaji Maharaj, his Diksha Guru is not Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So the line of Gogshoras Babaji Maharaj is the Advaita line, and the line of Bhakti Vinod Thakur is the Nityananda line. So they criticize this. Now, at the time, the reply from the Gaudiya Math was, Palena Parichiyati. What does that mean? Who knows? Judged by the fruit. They said, this, you can see the potency. The potency of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, the potency of the Gaudiya Math, that is proof in itself that this is connected to Krishna. And they criticized those and said, they're like owls. Owls cannot see. Even in the light, sunlight, owls cannot see. So those who criticized, they were blind. And if we remember the purport, the Prabhupada was explaining in the lecture, those that criticized, what happened to them? They fell down, yeah. So this is a lesson to us all. So I'm going to give you some quotes of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Physical illness with Hari Bhajan is preferred to physical fitness sans Hari Bhajan. Sans means without. It's a French word, right? So this is it's a very deep statement to actually believe that in your heart. Because I know for myself, I'm thinking, you know, it's nice to do Hari Bhajan, but I want to be healthy. And if I got ill, I'm like, I lose my enthusiasm, you see. I'm one of these devotees that I can't really do devotional service so well if I'm feeling ill. And I just think, as long as I'm fit, you know. So, but obviously, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati had a higher vision, higher realization. While I remember, who knows who he is in the spiritual world as a Manjari form? Nayana Mani Manjari, yes. So what's the meaning of this? Nayana Mani Manjari. I. Nayana means I. Ball. Or the jewel, yeah. So what does it mean then? Who is he then? I mean, that's the name, but what does it mean? It means he is the personification of the glance of Srimati Radharani. Now, if that's not elevated, what is? I don't know what is. It's explained of all the gopis, the most beautiful is Radharani. And the most beautiful part of Radharani is our face. And the most beautiful part of our face are her eyes. And the most beautiful part of our eyes is the pupil of the eye. So Nayana Mani refers to that. That personified glance is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. So that may explain his great potency in spreading Krishna consciousness. Okay, here's another quote. We are here on earth not to work as artisans for making big buildings with wood and stone, but to work only as messengers of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Dev. So when you hear this, does it remind you of something that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati told Prabhupada or Bhaktivedanta Swami? Who knows? Think of the marble. Yes. Yes. He said, it would be better to strip the marble off of the Bag Bazaar temple, sell it and print books. Why? Because there was too much infighting. As soon as there is luxury, there is infighting. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, it's interesting, his relationship with the disciples was different from just Prabhupada. And I use the term Prabhupada to mean Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada once said, I am different from my Guru Maharaj. I am happy with my disciples. He was very unhappy with his disciples. And on one occasion, Bhaktivedanta Swami said, because he was unhappy with the neophyte nature of his disciples, my Guru Maharaj wrote in very elevated English so that no one could understand. Only I could understand. He wrote these books for me. There's a quote like that. It's quite amazing, actually. So, on that topic, is anyone who has read the works of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati will know he has very elevated English. Apparently, he went into a library, stayed there for 3 days fasting, and just studied English and learned English in 3 days. It's amazing. He actually worked for the king of Tripura, and he was doing a, he was researching the lineage of this king. He was being paid to do so, and he took advantage to study all the various, you know, Goswami books in the king's library. And when he retired, he was actually very much appreciated by the king, because not only did he do a great scholarly work, he rooted out a lot of corruption within the king's servants. You know, he rooted out. And when he retired, retired early, he didn't want to continue the service. He was actually given a pension. And after a while, he stopped receiving the pension. You know, as an acharya or as a pure devotee, you don't want to be dependent on anyone. So the king of Tripura, interestingly enough, after that, he then donated this pension regularly to the Gaudiya Math. So they got, he was a supporter of the Gaudiya Math for life. Now, we know that Prabhupada emphasized structure. He set up a GBC and he set up a constitution. It's interesting that during the presence of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, there were no bank accounts. They wouldn't even, they were so, I wouldn't call it disorganized, they were just so transcendental. The mood was, if Bhakti's there, the movement's in a healthy place, and if Bhakti's not there, it doesn't matter what bank accounts we have, what constitution, etc., it's going to fail. So where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Arshula Prabhupada differ is, Arshula Prabhupada realized that the setting up of the GBC had to be done at the beginning, not at the end. You see, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, towards the end of his life, he set up a GBC to manage the affairs, but it was done towards the end. It wasn't properly instituted. And when he departed from this world, they made mistakes. You know, they appointed an acharya. Actually, here's something quite a little important point. We sometimes misunderstand the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. We say, he said, do not appoint an acharya, but instead appoint a GBC. That's only half the truth. What he actually said was, appoint a GBC, set up a GBC to manage things and await a self-effulgent acharya. So he wasn't against an acharya. From our perspective, we know who that self-effulgent acharya is, Srila Prabhupada. But he wasn't against the concept of an acharya. And actually, during the progress of the Gaudiya Math, it started off very austere, a lot of preaching, and as I mentioned, things started to go a bit wrong, and it depressed, transcendentally depressed, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And Prabhupada even said he left the planet early because of that dissatisfaction. And we saw, because we saw the undercurrents of the Gaudiya Math falling apart, you see. Anyway, I'm going to read some more quotes. A sycophant is neither a guru or a preacher. We are put to test and trial in this world. Only those who attend the kirtan of the devotees can succeed. Now, we know his great dedication to kirtan. He chanted 1 billion names. In this regard, there's a wonderful pastime. You know what? He was even doing a bit of management while he was doing this. So he was chanting 192 rounds every day in a little bhajan kutir. He had an umbrella because he didn't want to waste time trying to repair the roof. He'd just have an umbrella if it was raining. Practically didn't eat at all. His Guru Maharaj said, you know, the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami is manifested in my Prabhu. That's how he described him. So he did this great Nam Yajna. And after that, he was contemplating. There was a difficult period in his life, 1915 and 1914, I think it was, the departure of both Bhaktivinoda Thakur from this planet and Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. So you can imagine how he felt. These were two of his great gurus. In fact, they used to discuss together with Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj in Mayapur. The four of them used to get together and have discussions. Imagine what that would be like. It's incredible. Anyway, he was feeling great separation from the loss of his Diksha Guru and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his father, who was a Shiksha Guru. And he had this dilemma, because in his heart he wanted to please his father, whose ambition was that he would spread Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, he understood he had no followers, he had no wealth, and no one was interested in hearing from him. And he was thinking to himself, maybe I just chant Hare Krishna. No. And here's Alex give you a quote I'll read from Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav about what happened next. So he's feeling this dilemma. One day, a gust of wind blew before him an extract of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, wherein Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami to compose transcendental literature, renovate forgotten holy places, institute service to Lord Krishna, and propagate Bhakti Rasa. Taking this as a divine indication, but feeling depressed and incapable, Sri Siddhanta Sarasvati pondered, I have no public support, nor wealth, learning, or the intelligence required to waken interest in the populace. How can I convey to the inhospitable world the pure teachings of Sri Chaitanya and establish the Manobishta of my gurus? Shortly afterwards, one night at the yoga pit, in a dreamlike revelation, he saw approaching him from the east the Panchatattva, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and numerous other great devotees of Lord Chaitanya. They told him, Sarasvati, why are you worrying? Begin the task of establishing Shuddha Bhakti. Distribute Gauravani universally. Expand service to Gauranam, Gauradham, and Gaurakam. That means the name, the residence, the holy dham, and the desire of Gaura. With unbreached enthusiasm, broadcast Bhakti Siddhanta. We are eternally with you, ready to help. The support of unlimited people, immeasurable opulence, and boundless scholarship awaits the blessing to serve your mission. All will manifest when required. Come forward with full strength to distribute the message of Mahaprabhu's Prema Dharma throughout the globe. No worldly hindrance or menace will be able to obstruct this undertaking of yours. We are forever with you. It's quite an amazing dream to have. So there's one quite important point that I've not mentioned. The birth of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, as I mentioned, Bimal Prasad. If you go to the Puri temple, all the prasad to Jagannath is offered to Bimala Devi. So therefore Bimala Prasad was the name given to the son of Bhaktivinod Thakur. But why did this son come? He was prayed for by Bhaktivinod Thakur. They prayed for a ray of Vishnu to help with the mission. Because Bhaktivinod Thakur understood that he desperately wanted to spread the mission, but he needed helpers. So he prayed that a ray of Vishnu would come, and that prayer was answered in the form of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. So Ananta Achyuta is going to read from a purport about Ray of Vishnu. What purport is it?
3.22.19. One should beget a child who can perform the duties of Vishnu. Otherwise, there is no need to produce children. There are two kinds of children born of good fathers. One is educated in Krishna consciousness so that he can be delivered from the clutches of Maya in that very life, and the other is a ray of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and teaches the world the ultimate goal of life.
Thank you very much. One time, Jadurani and Satsvarup, they were married. They decided they wanted to have a child, and they asked Prabhupada, can we pray for a ray of Vishnu? What do you think Prabhupada's reply was? Anyone know? His reply was, do not imitate our acharyas, follow in their footsteps. In other words, you're not actually qualified to make such a prayer. I don't think they had a son or daughter after all, actually. But anyway. But if you're like Bhaktivinod Thakur, then you can pray for a ray of Vishnu. I've got a few more quotes, and then I'll read these quotes, and then I'll open it up for any comments. And I'm particularly interested to know what inspires each and every one of you about Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. So if you have any particular pastimes that inspire you, or any certain things about the character of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, please feel free to share. I can't do justice without mentioning the relationship between Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Gaura Kishoras Babaji Maharaj. So I'm going to read a little bit from Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav. I had considered my Gurudev to be unequaled in Vairagya, but somewhat short of learning. Remember that Gaura Kishoras Babaji Maharaj was illiterate. But he reduced to powder my audacity born of book learning. With the mallet of his mercy, he revealed that whatever I had adjudged to be the highest ideal was in fact most low and despicable. When by his grace that instruction first entered my ears, my diminutive brain lacked the capacity to accommodate such transcendental knowledge. But to all fools like me, he gave the chance to hear such lofty topics. I have understood that if the people of this world do not receive the same jolt that I received from my Gurudev, their consciousness will not awaken. Therefore, I am telling everyone, I am more foolish than anyone else on earth. Please, all of you, do not be foolish like me. Do not live your life within the limitation of calculating consciousness. Discuss Vaikuntha Katha, and you will become a great person. I am telling you what I have realized by the supremely beneficial. Sorry, I've realized to be supremely beneficial. So I'm going to give you a little insight into a typical day at the Gaudiya Mat. So our Mangal Aarti, our morning program, was very different to the morning program at the Gaudiya Mat. So listen to this. A typical day in each Gaudiya Mat began shortly after rising. Devotees would congregationally chant Gur Vashtakam by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is actually before Aarti. Vaishnav Vandana by Devaki Nandana Das, which offers respects to all Vaishnavs, and then Sri Guru Parampara, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's composition describing the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya succession. And just a heads up, that will be chanted today at about 4 o'clock, right? One of the ladies from the ashram will be chanting this. That's before Aarti. And after Aarti, I'll be chanting the Krishna Tavapunya Hobby Bai, because it mentions Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And of course, we'll have a play at 5:10, etc. So carrying on, the Guru Parampara, Srila Saraswati Thakur's composition describing the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya succession, utterance of which fulfilled the requirement that every disciple within every sampradaya must early each morning recite the names of prominent acharyas in his parampara from its inception to the present. So glorification of the Vaishnavas. Then, we're still not at Mangal Aarti time yet, then Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat was read for a few minutes. This was followed by Mangal Aarti at 4:30. Attendance was compulsory. Any devotee who had not bathed by 4:30 due to sickness or late rising would stand at the back, hugging the wall, far away from those who had bathed and donned fresh cloth. During Mangal Aarti, the first prayer sung was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Aarti Kirtan, beginning Bale Gora Gadadarera Arati Nehari. Anyone who knows this bhajan, it's very similar to our evening Aarti. Kiba Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra. One of the verses is identical. Followed by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jivi Doya Kori, the opening prayer of Sharanagati. Then Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Gadadhar, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki was chanted once or twice, and for the remaining few minutes, Kirtan of the Mahamantra. Upon completion of the Aarti, and for the remaining few completion of the Aarti and Kirtan, Jai Dvani was recited. Next was Parikram of the Deities, performed 4 times, accompanied by Kirtan, which would continue briefly after the circumambulations and often was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's composition beginning Bajare Bajare Amara Mana Ati Manda, or other songs. Next was Tulsi Aarti, performed along with the chanting of Sri Chandrasekhar Kavi's Orison that begins Namo Namaha Tulasi Maharani. Okay. So just see how the morning program can change from one acharya to another. Hari Bol. I'm going to just conclude with just a few more quotes from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. A devotee feels the presence of God everywhere, but one averse to the Lord denies his existence anywhere. It's very clever. Those favored by God find their path set by thorns. As dalliance with the body in luxury increases, so wanes the spirit of service to the Lord. Consequently, the Gaudiya mat, the program was very, very strict. They wouldn't eat much. In fact, if anyone started putting on weight, they would be ordered to fast. Let me not desire anything but the highest good for my worst enemies. Try putting that into practice. Very difficult. Actually, when there were disputes amongst the Matvasis, the solution was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would ask them, he would say, now glorify each other. And they would take turns at glorifying each other. And by doing so, it would remove the animosity. So if you feel any animosity towards a person, you should glorify them, serve them, and it will go away. To transform the adverse desires of the jivas is the supreme duty of the most merciful. To rescue one person from the stronghold of Mahamaya is an act of supreme benevolence, far superior to opening innumerable hospitals. Another quote, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that one namabhas is worth more than opening innumerable hospitals. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Okay, any comments or questions or realizations? Share your what inspires you about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Panchatattva Prabhu.
Can I say something? The mic was next to me.
Okay.
So, yeah, I wanted to say something regarding his vow, which he took at the age of maybe 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
Like once he had offered a mango.
He hadn't offered a mango, yeah.
Yeah, to the Lord. Bhaktivinod Thakur had offered a mango to the Lord, I believe, and he ate it before offering the mango. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur promised for his whole life that I will never eat a mango.
Yes.
Just that one.
And it said his disciple would sometimes offer mangoes, but he wouldn't take. But I think he did actually take some mango chutney, the unripe type. I think that's from the book from Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. Panchatattva Prabhu.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
I'm just wondering when you mentioned his Siddha Swarup.
Yes. Naina Mani Manjari.
Did he reveal this himself?
Okay. It's said that I think some of his prominent followers, they deduced it and they told him and he kind of nodded and smiled in affirmation. It's something like that. But to get, if you really want to go exactly how that was revealed, it's in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. I think there was even a letter someone wrote to him saying that he was that personality, and it was kind of confirmed. But I don't think it was totally, explicitly, categorically confirmed by him proactively. It was more like he kind of confirmed it. It's a little confusing, some of these things. Antaranga Prabhu, did you? Take it in order, then we'll go to Vishal, and then we'll go to Prayojana Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for sharing such a wonderful nectar.
Thank you.
And by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. My question is, when we see the life of our acharyas, when we study about them, when we read about them, we can, in one hand, appreciate the magnanimity of our sampradaya and magnanimity of our practitioners. And on the other hand, sometimes when I read about their lifestyle and their practices, I feel almost discouraged.
Mm.
I feel like there's nothing even minutely comparable to their sadhana bhakti that we are able to bring to the table.
Yes.
So sometimes it's just me. I feel like what I'm going to do with this. Yes, I feel proud to be in the lineage, but same time I feel almost discouraged to be in the lineage, like I have nothing to offer.
Mm-hmm.
So how we as a followers of Rupa Goswami, followers of being Prabhupada Nugas, now you establish that we are Saraswati Nugas as well, how we can absorb this practices of our predecessors, acharyas, in our day-to-day life, and how it can be inspired rather than not inspired.
Mm-hmm.
That I can never be like this. I can never achieve nothing of this magnitude. So if you have any insights.
My thought is this. Because we have these horrible egos and they're always pricking us, it takes something quite serious to correct the mentality and become Trinadapi Sunichina Tarariva Sahishnina Amanina Manadina Kirtaniya Sadahari. So I think you should be encouraged that you actually have this feeling. It is like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he felt his all his learning was turned to powder, and I read the quote. In the presence of Gaurakishoras Babaji Maharaj, he felt absolutely disqualified in spite of his great scholarship. So it's good, you should at least think yourself fortunate that at least you think that way. Because if you were more proud, you wouldn't even be thinking that. You might be thinking, I'm the bee's knees, I'm the ban, I'm the devotee, you know, I'm a great kind of guy. But you're not thinking that. Now you may be discouraged. It said, there's a type of encouragement that inspires us to go deeper into our bhajan and go deeper into our preaching. And there's a type of discouragement that makes us move away from devotional service. So you just have to make sure it's the first type and not the second. And actually this is a real test to see whether how sincere we all are. We all ultimately bow down wholly and solely and fully to our parampara if we want to get any mercy. So we may as well do it now. And you just pray for mercy. That position of being helpless, that's going to attract the mercy of our acharyas. So just pray. And just carry on doing some preaching in Liverpool and try and get the mercy, you know. I think you're doing some wonderful service, so you may be getting empowered. So just never feel any pride, because as soon as we get pride, then it all falls apart. So that's what I think. I think you're doing well to have that feeling. It's good. Vishal Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Just reflecting how, even though they're, you know, great personalities from the spiritual world, when they come down, they still go through, they still had to go through a journey of, you know, so much obstacles. And
yes.
Even Prabhupada, he had, you know, many obstacles, and other personalities like Srinivasacharya, you know, he went through so many heartbreaks because he tried to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these persons, and they all passed away. So he was going through so much. Mm.
Raghunathas going to commit suicide. He was so distraught. Karen.
Yeah, so like that. How come they had to go through so much suffering, and despite, you know.
It's interesting, one time Prabhupada explained that the suffering of a spiritual master is a lila to bring out, to draw out the love of the disciple. So we can see their suffering, we can become inspired by that, we can see that example, it affects our hearts. So it's a wonderful thing. And it's in all traditions. You've got the example of Jesus, he's God, but he's also man. And when you can look at him as the man, the suffering man, it kind of brings the love out. But at the same time, he's divinity. So it's kind of like that. Yeah, it's a great example. They all teach by example. And by that example, there's no excuse for us. We can't say, well, there's obstacles, because their obstacles were far greater. You know? I mean, has anyone tried to bribe a policeman to kill you? Probably not. Big obstacle that was. But he didn't back down. And Prabhupada had two heart attacks in the ship, and still comes to America, and there's nothing. And for 1 year there was nothing. He was just sitting on a bench thinking, what's going to go on here? I'm trying, what's going to happen? I'm going back to India. Anyway, these are wonderful examples. Hare Krishna. Prayojana Prabhu. By the way, just before you speak, I don't normally print stuff out, but I just had so much I wanted to read, so I did. So I'm going to just, if anyone wants this, I'm going to find any of it. Okay, there you go. And I always say this, if anyone wants the garland, if you're going out preaching, you're going to distribute any books today, then please take the garland and you can give someone a very special present today, some conditioned soul. Prabhupada.
Yeah, it reminds me of, it was in one of the Gopalju publications, and it commented about Bhakti Siddhanta. Well, they quote Bhakti Siddhanta. He said, "We should not kick out people who are not following." He said, "Actually, they would have no chance outside. So why throw them out? No, you must be patient with these people. You must endure their foolishness, you know." But you know, that was one of them. And there's another one that I consider, you know, much like you say, the road to God is paved with thorns. That's a fact. And there's a... I'm just trying to remember what it was. But actually, it's Gaur Govinda Swami. He actually passed away on the appearance day of... of Bhakti Siddhanta, and he was talking about Jagannath and the pastimes of Jagannath and the Tapa there. So, the one thing that should be said, that these people they revered and were quoting entirely always acharyas. You know, and some people suffered for it too. You know, certainly within ISKCON, as Gaur Govinda Swami did at that time. But it was also that the thing is, at that time, there were those in Gaur Govinda Swami's thing bragging about that he's the Acharya and he should be following Prabhupada. And but he felt they were shameful. He didn't want to hear such talk, you know. It was, he's here as Prabhupada's disciple, and that nobody else. So it's a humble position of the acharyas.
Thank you. Sachivata.
Yes, first of all, very nice class. Thank you so much. A lot of information. Just reminding us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Has any one of you have been to Bag Bazaar, to Bhakti? Any of you? No. This particularly Gaur Yamat, this place, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj was actually staying. And he also left his body, his last disappearance. So I had a good fortune to see his room, because at the time, Gaur Yamat was not, I'm talking about a few years back. Mm-hmm. Now they're financially a lot better off. But at the time, it was, you know, the building was falling apart. Mm. And but I went to see his room, the room where he left his body. Mm. And this is an amazing, amazing thing to see, because the floor all cracked, you know, even the cement came off. And all his bed, his chairs, his... table, his armchair, you know, in those days, they're all there. And you actually feel the presence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It was amazing. And I was feeling, when I was coming out, I felt that room has been renovated now. It's not, hasn't got the same feeling as before. So when I went the last time, it was completely different. But then I felt, oh my God, the person who is no longer here, this was my realization, is can be so powerful. Wish I could have seen him when he was alive, you know. Amazing. So this was, I thought I better share with you, which I have seen in
very
my
powerful
eyes.
Presence.
Very
Thank
powerful
you.
Presence.
What should we do now? Is it all organized? Just take one last thing and then we have push Panjali.
I was just thinking that about that dream that the Panjatap appeared to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So I was wondering if those who are following in the line of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, trying to fulfill his mission under the direction of Srila Prabhupada, do we also have that support from the Panchatap in our attempts to continue his mission?
Yes, we do. Of course we do. The mercy is coming through. When you have Prabhupada's mercy, it means the whole line. It's not going to stop at a certain point. So yes, we have the mercy. And as we said, whenever if you do Harinam some new place, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur is present as well. Anyway, thank you. So we'll do Pushpanjali. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.